If you have your Bibles with you this evening, I would want you to turn with me in the New Testament to the book of Ephesus, Ephesus chapter 3. Many people ask us, why are you guys missionaries? Why have you left your family, your friends, financial security, and the safety of the USA and gone to Papua New Guinea? Others have said, why don't you wait until you retire from your job here in the U.S. and then go do your missionary work? I was working for Bethlehem Steel Corporation, and at that time I was making $17 an hour. And I had picked out the point in my career where I was going to hit my $1 million mark before I retired. And as I was walking back to the shop one day, I was out working in the steel mill, and the Lord spoke to me. The Holy Spirit said, are you going to stay here and make your $1 million? Or are you going to do what I want you to do? I had been busy and active in the church. I was a deacon, trustee, set up a visitation program. We were youth leaders. But the Lord kept saying, why not you? Why not you? And so I said that day, I said, Lord, if you want us to be a missionary, we're willing to do that. I went home and talked to my wife about that. She said, the Lord hadn't talked to me about that yet. So I began to pray and ask God, if this is something that you have in our life, you need to talk to her too. And he did. Through another missionary, came to our house one day, and he sat down and shared with us after the morning service meal at our house. And he was born with cerebral palsy. And Sandy says, you know, going to New Guinea, she says, I just picture these, you know, Tarzan swinging on vines, and I just can't do that. And he said, you know, and he kind of talked like that. And he said, there's lots of things that I can't do, but God doesn't hold me accountable for what I can't do. He holds me accountable for what I can do. And then the Lord gave Sandy a verse soon after that. It's accepted according to that a man has, and not according to that he has not. And the Lord used that in her life to show her that she came to me one day and said, I'm willing to give it a try. So we've been giving it a try for half of our married life. I was thinking we celebrate 40 years of marriage in October, and we've been in New Guinea for 20 years. So we praise the Lord that we've been able to spend those years there together. But, you know, they've asked us also, why have you gone to spend your lives on a people who live on the backside of a mountain somewhere in a remote area of Papua New Guinea where some of those people have never even seen a white person before? Chapter 3 of Ephesians, verse number 2, gives us that answer. And it tells us that the grace of God was given to us. But what is that grace? Someone said it's God's ransom at Christ's expense. The shed blood of Jesus Christ for our benefit, so that that would wash away our sins so we could go to heaven. Something that we don't deserve. Someone said, it's God's holy influence upon us to turn us to Christ, to strengthen our faith, for us to exercise Christian virtues in our lives. But what is the message of grace they're talking about here? Colossians 1:27 says, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Believing by faith that Jesus died on the cross to take the penalty of your sin. That's what it's all about. And then growing in grace from there on. 1 Corinthians 15:3 says, for I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. But how was this grace revealed to us? We see that in verse 5. It says, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men as it is now, revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. It's revealed unto us, and in verse 6, it says that it is the Gentiles. That's you and me. verse 6 says that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. The good news of Jesus Christ is Christ's blood shed for the payment of sinners and the gift of heaven. But what does this word minister mean? In verse 7, wherefore I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power. I was made a minister. That word minister, have any of you have ever been to a restaurant before? And the server comes and he brings you your food and your water and your silverware and all the things that you need, extra napkins, lemon for your water. Just brings all those things to you. That's what this word minister is. It's like a waiter serving food and drink to others. And that's what we're giving out, the word of God. It's food and it's health and life to those that hear and believe. And then with verse 8, we have come full circle. Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given that I should preach among the Gentiles and the unsearchable riches of Christ, who am less than the least of all saints, broken beggars under grace. Great sinners need a greater God, and we have a great Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who answers all of our needs. Call upon him and he will answer and show us great and mighty things that we do not know. 1 Timothy 1:15 says, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Philippians 2 verse 5 through 11 says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Verse 6, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And then verse 8, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow of things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God and the Father. Let's focus a little bit on this verse 8. In being found in fashion as a man, what did Jesus do? He humbled himself. And why did he humble himself? For you and for me. It wasn't for his benefit. It was for our benefit. And that's an example that Jesus gave us, a physical example and a spiritual example, that we are to do the same thing. As we humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God, he will lift us up. And we desire in our life, and we have in our ministry, that our lives would praise him in all that we do. In closing tonight, I'd like for everyone to just bow your head, close your eyes, and just think about this. Imagine what your life would be like if no one had ever told you about Jesus. What if I had never left my family and friends in financial security and the safety of the USA? What if I had waited to retire from my job here in the USA before I went to do missionary work? What if I had not gone to witness to those people who live on the backside of a mountain in a remote area of Papua New Guinea? Has God been talking to you about going to do missionary work? Maybe he's been talking to you about praying for missions or supporting missions. What if you wait until you retire from your job before you're obedient to what God wants you to do? What if you do not go and witness to those people on the backside of your property where you live? What if you do not go and witness to that neighbor next door? What if you do not go and witness to that person at work? What if you do not go and witness to that person at the store? What if you do not go and witness to that person at the bank? What if you do not go and witness to the person you call your friend, but you've never shared your faith in Christ with them? Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, James 4:10 tells us that. Oftentimes we're fearful to share the good news of Christ with others. I think that's why Jesus put in the Bible 144 times where he told us to fear not, in case we'd forget. He'd remind us 144 times to fear not. Father, we thank you for what you've done in our lives. We thank you for we're able to trust you because your word is true. We thank you that we can trust you and we have trusted you and resisted fear and shared your gospel openly and taught the people fervently and faithfully. And they saw our faithfulness and our faith was true and it was real. And they accepted it into their lives and shared it with their families and their friends and carried it with them as they walked about across the mountains, across the rivers, into the valleys. Father, you can do the same thing in each life here in this room as we share the good news. It's alive and active. And we need not fear. You've reminded us that many times. Father, help us with your strength and your power to strengthen our faith, to go out and share that good news with others to a lost and dying world. We thank you for what you're accomplishing in and through us.